Okay, this is the time set for the argument in the Goldstein Irrevocable Trust case. As you can see, two of the justices are down here in Las Vegas, while Justice Kadish is in Carson City and the lawyers are there. Our view doesn't show the lawyers seated at council table, but my understanding is that John Gallagher will be arguing for the appellant, and that for the respondents, Richard Walsh and Matthew Fitzgerald are dividing their time, 12 minutes and 5 minutes. And Mr. Gallagher has a right of reply, so he'll need to tell us when he gets to the podium how much he's reserving for his reply time. We've set it for 17 minutes per side, and the first two are reserved to the lawyers to talk without interruption from the justices, but after that it's fair game. And at 15 minutes or 2 minutes in, we will be able to start asking questions. So with that, Mr. Gallagher, are you ready to proceed?
I am, Your Honor.
Good afternoon, Justices. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of time for rebuttal. And with
Very
that,
well.
May I begin, Your Honor?
I'm sorry.
May I begin?
Yes.
So this morning I'm here on behalf of Richard Goldstein. Present with me is my co-counsel, Joe Bush, and we're here on an appeal from a district court order that ruled that in a petition that was filed pursuant to NRS 164010, subsections 1 and 2, asking the court to assume jurisdiction over the trust as an in rem proceeding. The lower court found that we needed to make a showing of personal jurisdiction as well. We believe that that ruling was in error, and we believe it's in error simply because the reading of the statute distinguishes between personal jurisdiction and in rem jurisdiction. In the decision that the court entered, it also referenced and relied upon the Burgauer case and and the Abood case to support the notion that a district court, in entertaining a petition for in rem jurisdiction under 164010 subs 1 and 2, was required to find personal jurisdiction over the bank as a trustee. We believe that's in error, and that's why we're here today. So in support of our appeal, we referenced and argued extensively in our moving papers that when the court looks to 164010 sub 1, it specifies the ability of a party that is a trustee, a settlor, or a beneficiary to request the court to assert jurisdiction as an in rem proceeding, unless another court has properly assumed jurisdiction. In subsection 2, it specifies jurisdiction is proper in this state, and then it delineates through subsections A, 2A, B, C, and D, the requirements to be met for the exercise of in rem jurisdiction. Subsection D is particularly important here. The trust owns personal property wherever situated. This trust, the Goldstein Trust, consists entirely of personal property, marketable securities, which is not in dispute. That has been admitted, is actually part of the joint appendix that shows that it is all marketable securities, which are movables, personal property. Subsection D1, the trustee is, D says the trust owns personal property wherever situated if the trustee is, under subsection 1, incorporated or authorized to do business in this state. Bank of America is authorized as the trustee to do business in the state of Nevada. Under subsection 4, it is also a national association having an office in this state. And subdivision E of 2 says if the trustee resides or conducts business in the state. So the elements and the prongs for each of the requirements for the exercise of in rem jurisdiction are acknowledged and met. In the lower court proceeding and in the briefs, the respondents admit that fact. That fact's not in dispute. So then we
counsel, yes. Counsel, I'm sorry, just, but even if we concede that there's in rem jurisdiction over the trust, are Bank of America and the remainder beneficiaries necessary parties such that they must be joined and then also have personal jurisdiction over each?
I don't believe so. Under this proceeding, if you look at 164010, it's instituted as a petition under the proceeding. They're entitled to notice as interested persons. They were provided notice, and it's their choice of whether they wish to appear and contest the proceeding or not. This is not a joinder analysis, as been argued by the respondents in their brief under Rule 19, because it is not the commencement of a civil action that requires the issuance of a summons and complaint and service of the summons and complaint in this proceeding. The action is not personal in nature. It's in rem.
Wouldn't the court's ruling, wouldn't the court's ruling in the district court, let's say that the court ruled on your declaratory relief request and said you can move to have the situs move from Missouri to Nevada without triggering the interim clause, wouldn't that then impact Bank of America's role as a trustee and that would take the power away from them to decide whether or not that clause had been triggered?
I think that petition has not yet been filed. I don't believe that issue is before the court, but the petition only seeks a declaration of rights. If the petition does not
right.
seek
the declaration of rights is to interpret the trust to get an affirmative declaration that if Mr. Goldstein were to seek to move at some hypothetical point in the future, move the situs of the trust from point A to point B, that would affirmatively not trigger the no contest clause, correct? So that's the relief he's seeking. And so at this point in time, does Bank of America have the sole discretion to make that determination such that their rights would be affected if they weren't joined as a party in this case?
Respectfully, Justice Lee, I don't believe so. I don't believe that issue is before the court. What's before the court is the petition to assume jurisdiction,
which also includes a request to construe the trust as to whether the proposed petition would violate the no contest clause or not.
It's Justice Case, which has not been filed yet.
Right, that's the ruling that's being sought by the petition that was filed, is for the court to construe the trust as to whether the proposed petition would violate the no contest clause if filed.
It is an interpretation as to whether filing the petition to change the situs would violate the interim provision. That's correct.
Right.
And perhaps I'm misunderstanding. What hasn't been filed yet is that petition, because in our view, before the court is simply the question of whether it can exercise in rem jurisdiction under 16010, and whether the denial of the court in exercising in rem jurisdiction was appropriate in the lower court. That's the issue for the court to address. And we believe that clearly under the Bergauer case, which I believe you authored.
I think I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. It makes a clear distinction between this proceeding, which is solely in the nature of an in rem proceeding, and the proceeding that was in the Bergauer case, which asserted claims sounding an intentional tort, which required an exercise of personal jurisdiction over the trustee. They're vastly different propositions. Footnote 3 of the Bergauer opinion makes that explicit and says that the issue that was addressed ultimately, that the parties agreed, was under Section 5, 16010, subsection 5B, which was whether there was a proper exercise of personal jurisdiction. And I'm sure you recall this, Justice Kadish, but in the underlying Bergauer decision, The court confirmed the appointment of the trustee, which under the statute constitutes personal jurisdiction. We don't have that issue here. That was not sought. They reserved their right to contest jurisdiction and and have made a special appearance for purposes of doing so. But in this case, the parties have all conceded, and the bank has also conceded that there's been nothing in the petition that is directed toward the trustee. There's no relief sought against the trustee. That's acknowledged in the moving paper, in the briefs. So,
right.
Well, but aren't you asserting that in your prayer for relief in the petition, you're seeking a declaration that would change, that requesting a change in the situs of the administration of the trust does not trigger the trust no contest clause? If that ruling were only confined to your client, it would be pointless. You want that to be a ruling that is binding on the trustee and on the contingent beneficiaries or remainder beneficiaries. And so if it's purely in rem, can you get the relief you seek?
I believe we can. I don't believe it requires an exercise of personal jurisdiction. I think it's appropriate under 164.010 subsections 1 and 2 and is contemplated as administrative in nature.
So before,
and that kind of raises a related point. The district judge in his order says he's partially granting BOA's motion to dismiss, and then you've taken a direct appeal. But if your point is that that in rem jurisdiction is sufficient to grant you the relief you seek in the petition, the district judge says there is in rem jurisdiction. So are you even properly here? Is that granting of the motion to dismiss just partial as to those parties, and it could have continued ahead with the in rem?
I respectfully read the order differently. He dismissed our petition. What he found in his decision was that there was a requirement to assert jurisdiction under 164.010 subsections 1 and 2, a requirement that we make a showing of personal jurisdiction. I believe that's okay. What he said, and then
if we were to agree with that, let's say that we agree with that you have to have both in rem and in personam jurisdiction, how do you get there under your theory of specific jurisdiction? Because I don't believe you are arguing for general jurisdiction. You're just arguing for specific jurisdiction. So how do we get there? And then can you please address joinder, assuming that we agree that they are necessary parties?
Let me address joinder first. I believe that under the joinder analysis, they're required only in the context to receive notice under 155.010. That in the nature of this proceeding, which is not the commencement of a civil action under 14065, where there's an issuance of a summons and complaint, nor are they a named defendant, they're entitled to notice and the opportunity to be heard, which they've exercised. To suggest that a trust proceeding always initiate or constitutes a civil action that's initiated, I'm going to finish briefly, but then I'm in my reserve time, is analogous to a square peg in a round hole, because trust proceedings generally are considered in rem proceedings, and Rule 19 of the NRCP does not apply. So that would be my response. I'll reserve the rest of the time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Matt Fitzgerald on behalf of the trustee, Bank of America. I'm sharing time today with my friend, Mr. Walsh, who represents the contingent beneficiaries. There are two main points in this appeal. First, personal jurisdiction over the trustee is necessary in this case. Second, personal jurisdiction over the trustee is absent. The district court was correct on both issues and should be affirmed. Now, first, personal jurisdiction is necessary in this case. Even in the very first case that Richard is bringing, in which he has attached, of course, his request to move situs, it's in the appendix at pages 13 to 18, but even in the very first case, he is asking the court to take jurisdiction over the trust and to administer the trust. He is looking for an order that would have to be binding on the trustee, or else it would be void and pointless. And to do that, he needs personal jurisdiction over the trustee. Now, moreover, of course, courts have long recognized that trustees are typically necessary parties to trust litigation. This court, as early as 1896 in Robinson versus Kind, quoting Joseph Story, said, quote, "The trustees hold the legal interest, and therefore they are necessary parties." Moreover, it's the trustee's job by contract to administer the trust, and so if the court is going to do that, as Richard has asked, even in the first case, it is in the trustee's lane, essentially, and it needs to be able to enforce that order against the trustee. Now, second, personal jurisdiction is absent in this case over the trustee. And the reason why personal jurisdiction fails is, as this court described the second prong of the personal jurisdiction test in Bergauer, quote, "The defendant's suit-related conduct must create a substantial connection to the forum." There is no substantial connection in this case. This trust has been administered out of Missouri for 25 years. The grantor lived and died in Missouri. Missouri law governs the trust, even today. And every party in front of you here in this court has litigated this trust, and not only this trust, but the no contest clause of this trust in the courts of Missouri for a period of several years. Richard was
counsel, in terms of the nexus between the, you know, arising out of prong, wasn't it the letter from the Bank of America's Nevada branch denying Mr. Goldstein's request to move the situs that then triggered his, so, you know, injury, if I put that in quotes, such that he then sought to petition the court in Nevada to make a declaratory statement that he could challenge the situs without triggering the clause?
No, Your Honor.
Is that a connection?
It's the bank's decision not to transfer situs that he claims caused him the quote injury. And we know from the record, it's at Joint Appendix page 155, that the decision on situs was made by the Missouri team in Missouri. Now, additionally, I think it's important that the letter that he got from a bank officer in Nevada was just saying no. Essentially, so Richard, his counsel, reached out to a trust officer in Nevada who had never heard of him, had never heard of his trust, and said, "Please take administration of the trust here." And he got back a letter that said, in short, no. Missouri is where the center of this trust always has been. And so it wouldn't make sense, I think, to say that a letter declining to take administration of the trust in this state is an adequate hook for the courts of this state to take jurisdiction over the trust. I mean, he could have sent a letter to bank officers in all 50 states and said, "Please take control of my trust in your state." And he probably would get back a bunch of letters saying, "No, Missouri is the center for this trust." And under his theory, that will allow him then to go to court in any of the 50 states and take in rem jurisdiction over the trust, and as well as, on his theory, get an order that would be enforceable against the trustee. And
so,
that
so counsel,
right.
what would the in rem jurisdiction provided under the Nevada statutes allow? Like, what could be done under in rem jurisdiction that wouldn't require personal jurisdiction? Or is there something?
Over the trustee, very little, Your Honor. I think, keep in mind, the trustee is the holder of legal title to all property in the trust. So, for lack of a better term, the owner of the trust property, subject to equitable obligations to beneficiaries. It's the entity whose contractual job is to administer the trust. So if the court is going to do that, that is the trustee's job. And so I don't know. It's hard to think of an example where someone would want the court to step in and say something about the administration of a trust where it would be okay and make sense to do that without it being enforceable against the trustee. So, I mean, what we have here in 164.010 is a very, very broad in rem statute, which is constitutionally protected by the need for personal jurisdiction, which I think is what this court was getting at in Bergauer in going through the analysis of personal jurisdiction against the trustee there.
Right. I mean, in Bergauer, we had specific claims against the trustee alleging wrongdoing by the trustee, and so this is not on all fours, I guess.
I grant you it is not on all fours, but the teaching of Bergauer is relevant here, and that is that personal jurisdiction, the minimum contacts analysis, purposeful direction, purposeful availment, does apply and lay on top of this statute to make its reach constitutional, and that's what we're asking for here. I mean, again, there has been no answer from Richard or his counsel as to what they're going to do with an order that would not be enforceable against the trustee, which is an order without personal jurisdiction over the trustee would be that.
Yeah, what about the fact that this, unlike a typical civil case where you like name parties and serve them with a summons and complaint, and this is not that kind of proceeding, and notice was provided pursuant to the statute as counsel was just up here arguing. So does that change the law that applies?
No, it doesn't, Your Honor. And if you look at 164.0105B, it talks about challenges to personal jurisdiction. The statute envisions that a trustee who has received the notice required may show up and say, this court doesn't have jurisdiction over me. It shouldn't be doing anything with regard to this trust. And so the statute on its face envisions challenges to personal jurisdiction.
But counsel, does 164.010 subsection 2E confer jurisdiction over Bank of America because they're a trustee that conducts business in Nevada?
Your Honor, no. That is, I read that part of the statute as setting a very broad in rem jurisdiction. It's not the same as saying this is the reason why we're going to take personal jurisdiction. If it was, I don't think it would make sense to have subsection B5 there saying, unless someone shows up to challenge personal jurisdiction in the court. The fact that Bank of America does completely unrelated business in the state doesn't have anything to do with a proper personal jurisdiction analysis.
Your analysis of the Bergauer case, actually the lawyer on the other side, but Bergauer, as I understand it, our court determined that the district court had in rem jurisdiction over the trust, and then it lacked in personam jurisdiction over the trustee, and therefore the claims that sought to impose personal liabilities on the trustee couldn't proceed without personal jurisdiction. But it remanded for the district court to parse through those claims, and clearly contemplating there would be presumably some claims that there could be purely in rem jurisdiction over. And this case here is at such an early stage in the proceedings, and the petition is so kind of limited. Is there anything that we should say that they did have in rem jurisdiction over, so the district court should not have dismissed the case altogether?
No, Your Honor. So a couple of points in response. One, to be clear, on remand, the Bergauer District Court dismissed everything, vacated everything, and threw it all out, determined there was nothing it could do without personal jurisdiction.
Right, but we remanded for them, District Court, to make that determination. So we were saying there is the possibility of some jurisdiction in rem that's permissibly exercised, right?
Yes, the district court, or this court remanded for that court, perhaps for that court to look through and see if there was anything it could do. That court decided there wasn't anything it could do, and the litigation over that trust then proceeded in Florida. And that is similar to what the district court found here, that there wasn't anything that it could do without jurisdiction over the trustee. Again, all of these parties have litigated the exact no contest clause of this trust in Missouri, which continues to be the governing law. So if you think about, if you say, okay, well,
was this specific issue part of that litigation? Meaning, if I seek to move the situs, will that trigger the no contest clause? Was that specific issue litigated in Missouri?
No, he did not seek to move the situs in Missouri. He sought to bring a series of challenges, which you can see they're in the record. I believe about Joint Appendix page 220 to 280 is the complaint that he tried to file. He wanted to file in Missouri, but ultimately could not do so without being disinherited.
Sorry, I was going to sort of change gears for a moment, and that is to say. What, if anything, does the SCOTUS decision in Mallory have to say to us today?
Nothing, Your Honor.
Okay.
Nevada is one of about 10 states where it is the most crystal clear that the law is not the way Pennsylvania law in Mallory
it's
is.
It's like a uniform act or something.
Correct. I mean, it clearly says Section 77.440 that having a registered agent in this state is not consent to general personal jurisdiction here. And that sweeps it away. Nor is there anything based on 164.010 conferring personal jurisdiction. In fact, that statute envisions that there can be challenges to personal jurisdiction, which is the same path this court walked down in Bergauer.
And counsel, what would be the impact on Bank of America if the district court were to review this as an in rem administration only and then make a ruling one way or the other about triggering that clause? If Mr. Goldstein decided to seek to move the situs of the trust, what would be the impact, or how would Bank of America be bound or otherwise impacted by that decision?
Well, our position, Your Honor, is without personal jurisdiction over the bank, it would not be bound. And so there wouldn't be any real point to that order. I mean, so just to play it out, if you say, well, this first petition is just trust administration, and although that's the trustee's job, we're going to say you don't need personal jurisdiction for that. So go ahead, Richard, and get your declaration from the court. Go ahead and do that without any adversarial presentation or anyone showing up to say what law even applies to this trust. Go ahead and get the court to say that if you can. And once you do, when you file that petition trying to move situs, the bank's position will immediately be probably that you have been disinherited now under Missouri law, which is the actual law, and that the first order done without personal jurisdiction against the bank is void for that reason. So without considering the second suit, which much more clearly challenges the judgment of the trustee, the quote absolute discretion under the trust over situs, it wouldn't make sense to have that first case. Now, I would like to reserve some time for Mr. Walsh, but I'm happy to answer any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you. May it please the court. I'm Rick Walsh. I'm here on behalf of the individual respondents and Carol Jones. I think this court understands the result of what's going on here. Obviously, you can affirm on any reason, even if it's different from what the district court did under Saavedra Sandoval versus Walmart. And here, there is clear that there is no personal jurisdiction over the individual respondents. And the only question then, are they necessary parties? And the court doesn't have to go far, because Richard, in the prior suit in Missouri, specifically said each of those are necessary parties and sued directly Carol Jones, who is the trustee of the SRG Trust, which is where all these things would go. That's all set out in our brief, page 55, footnote 26, all the individual records where he admitted that they are necessary parties. There's no dispute also that the court lacks personal jurisdiction over all of those respondents. They're not in Nevada. They didn't make personal appearances here related to this trust whatsoever. They filed affidavits about it, et cetera. What is Richard trying to do? I think it's clear in his petition he's trying to change the situs of the trust and change the law that applies to the trust, and he is trying to have a ruling that would be bound. He wants it to be binding on the trustee and the individual respondents that by doing that he will not violate the interim clause. And the interim clause, which is clearly set out in the briefs, says, it doesn't say that if it's triggered, it says if he files suit against a other remainder man because his father didn't want to have those people hounded for 25 years, which is what has happened, the trustee is to act as if he had predeceased him. And that's what happened, okay? And so that, by that request that he's making to the court, what could be more important and impactful on the trustee and on the individual respondents? Because if that is enforced, it means that the individual respondents would be the beneficiaries of the trust, and he would be deemed to have predeceased. So to say that there is, which is what he said in his responsive brief, there's nothing going on here. There's no reason for anyone else to be involved, no trustee, et cetera. It's just about moving the situs of the trust. It's not. In fact, his brief, his briefing, and his petition all talks about it as if it's Nevada law that applies before the situs has been moved, which is improper. And it's blatantly unfair to do that to the individual respondents and to put the trustee in the position of having those differences. And I wanted to address the Missouri court because I was a representative in the Missouri court, represented the individual respondents. It's true that the Missouri court didn't address specifically the question of whether or not asking to move the situs would trigger the interim clause. But what they did say was that telling the trustee that he has done something wrong, which is in its absolute discretion, in this instance it was beneficiary designations, I mean, how much you give it to him, that would violate the interim clause. And so now you'd have these two contradicting things about it, and that's why in his petition here you'll see he's not saying, I want to say that they abused their discretion or changed their discretion. He just wants the court to do it by fiat, become the trustee of it. So for the reasons I've expressed in our brief, unless you have any further questions, we believe that the individual respondents are necessary parties and are not, there's no jurisdiction over them, as well as it's a forum nonconvenience issue. Thank you, Your Honors.
Briefly, I'd like to respond to the arguments made by Bank of America. What you heard Bank of America say was that literally 164010 is meaningless. There is no such thing as in rem jurisdiction under the statute. He said there would literally be no instance he can think of where the court could exercise in rem jurisdiction, and that over in personam jurisdiction was a necessary prerequisite. And that argument is really at the heart of our position, because it effectively negates and entirely the legislature's mandate of the exercise of jurisdiction on an in rem basis, where the purposes and the requirements set forth in 164010 sub 1 and 2 are satisfied, which they are. There is no issue with respect.
But the legislature can't overrule the constitutional requirements, even if they want to.
Clearly not. But this is not, at least in my view, a constitutional challenge to the exercise of in rem jurisdiction. What you've just heard is this whole thing about what Richard might or could do, and what he may do in the future as how that would impact a jurisdictional analysis. That's not what this case is about. What this case is about is whether the subsections of 164010 and 2 are satisfied, and the court has an obligation under the statutory mandate to exercise in rem jurisdiction. The legislature understood the distinction between in personam jurisdiction and in rem jurisdiction when they drafted that statute.
Can you explain it?
Well, of course. It makes a distinction between the exercise of in rem jurisdiction under subsections 1 and 2. Then when you get to 5, 5A specifies the exercise of, when the court assumes jurisdiction pursuant to this section, it has jurisdiction over the trust as an in rem proceeding. It makes that distinction clear. 5B makes the distinction about personal jurisdiction. And then 6.
So 5B says, deemed to have personal jurisdiction over any trustee confirmed by the court.
Once that
they
takes
haven't
place.
Been confirmed by the there's this
no,
court.
There's no question they
so
have not been
So then they still
confirmed.
Can challenge personal jurisdiction.
I agree with that, Your Honor.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize.
It's all right. Go ahead.
Subsection 6 is important in the analysis, too, because it indicates that the trustee can petition the court for removal from the trust from the continuing jurisdiction of the court. That is a reference to an in rem process. So literally what you're hearing from the bank is this notion that in rem is a fallacy, that it doesn't exist. Abood says it exists. Bergauer says it exists. Bergauer clearly made the distinction between in rem and in personam jurisdiction. And in fact, the remand contemplated that there was, the lower court did retain in rem jurisdiction subject to the fact intensive analysis of whether the claims required the exercise of personal jurisdiction.
But how can a Nevada court be evaluating how the trust should be administered if the trustee whose job is to administer the trust isn't present because there isn't personal jurisdiction over the trustee?
The Nevada court has the ability to issue orders in the nature of in rem, which will bind the interests of the parties regarding the trust property, which has been defined. It's been defined in Abood. It's been defined in Abood. We said 164010 confers in rem jurisdiction on the court over trust property in all administrative actions. It literally contemplates this action, this proceeding, as an in rem process. In addition, 164.0156 provides that a district court's order in trust administration action, which is such as this, is binding in rem upon the trust estate and the interests of the beneficiaries. That does not require a showing of personal jurisdiction. That's the prior jurisprudence of this court. The argument of Bank of America turns the statutory language in 164 and the delineation between what is set forth for personal exercise of jurisdiction and in rem jurisdiction on its head. And it rewrites the statute. And it doesn't, there's not a constitutional basis to do so. There's nothing for them to suggest that in rem jurisdiction is unconstitutional or the exercise of it is unconstitutional. Quickly, we do not seek, Justice Lee asked a question before I concluded previously, we do not seek the exercise of jurisdiction based only on specific jurisdiction either. We think Mallory does apply as set forth in the briefs. There's a consent issue here, and we also think that the bank has consented to jurisdiction in that fashion. Thank you so much.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.